We continue now with our continuing tales of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. The previous Rebbe writes in a letter that it is clear that the simple people who excel in their pure faith, in their sincerity in reciting Tehillim, in their participation in attending Torah study, in their attending brotherly gatherings, Fabrengens, and fulfilling the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, of love of fellow Jew, with affection and joy, that clearly they are the delights of Gan Eden, and they are the pride of the Holy Rabbeim. The Rebbe goes on, the previous Rebbe goes on, to bring a story in this letter of the Baal Shem Tov, which shows how very true this point is. The Rebbe writes, the Baal Shem Tov displayed a remarkable affection for simple, pious folk. This approach was widely known and was a major reason for the tremendous number of simple Jews who became the Baal Shem Tov's devotees in a short while, as many accounts attest. However, his greatest disciples, the Tzaddikim Goinim, the great Torah scholars, and righteous individuals, could not fully accept this approach. True, the Baal Shem Tov frequently sent them to learn traits like sincerity, trust, emunah pshuta, simple faith, emunah chachomim, faith in sages, emunah tzaddikim, faith in tzaddikim, love of Israel, and the like. The Baal Shem Tov would send his learned talmidim to learn these traits from simple Jews. Still, they could not appreciate the Baal Shem Tov's regard for ordinary people, and certainly could not emulate them in this. Now, it was the practice that guests ate two of the Shabbos meals at the Baal Shem Tov's table, but one meal was reserved for his disciples, the Chevraya Kadisha, the sacred fellowship, while guests were not admitted even to observe from a distance. One summer Shabbos, between 1753 and 1755 is when this took place, when the circle of disciples included brilliant and renowned men like the Mezriksha Magid and the Rav of Palnor, Rabbi Yankiv Yosef HaKoyen of Palnor, an incident occurred that thoroughly perplexed and confused the disciples. A large number of guests came for that Shabbos, including many undistinguished people, like farmers, artisans, cobblers, tailors, vintners, gardeners, stockmen, poultrymen, and small merchants. At the Friday evening meal, the Baal Shem Tov showed extraordinary affection for these people. He poured of the remains of his kiddush into the cup of one. To another, he gave his own kiddush cup to recite kiddush. He gave pieces of the loaves of his hamritzi to several others, and yet to others he gave of the meat and fish of his portion. He showed other gestures of friendship and regard for these guests as well, leaving his disciples no little perplexed. The guests knew that they could not attend the second Shabbos meal that was reserved for the inner group of disciples. So after their repast, they assembled in the Baal Shem Tov shul, and being totally uneducated, barely able to go beyond simply reading Chumash and Tehillim, they all started chanting Tehillim. When the Baal Shem Tov sat at the table for the second meal, he arranged the disciples in a deliberate order, characteristic of the meticulous system governing everything he did. In a short while, he started to hold forth, saying Torah, and all of the disciples felt a tremendous godly delight in their master's teaching. It was customary that they sang at the table, and when they saw the obvious cheery mood of the Baal Shem Tov, they were even more pleased. Filled with a sense of gratitude and happiness for God's favor to them, granting them the privilege of being among the disciples of the holy Baal Shem Tov. It occurred at that time to several of them that now it is so delightful without the crowd of simple people who have no idea what the Master is saying. Why, they thought, does he display such affection for these people, pouring from his cup into theirs, even giving his Kiddush cup to one of them to recite the Kiddush? These thoughts still flitted through their minds, and the Baal Shem Tov's expression changed. He became serious, immersed in his thoughts, and without a shift in this mood, he began to say the pasuk, the verse, Shalom, Shalom, la'rochek v'la'korif, peace, peace, to those who are far and to those who are near. The Baal Shem Tov continued that our sages observe that b'mokim shebalei tshuva oimdim tzadikim gemurim einum yichilim lamed sham, that where the penitent stands, the perfect saints cannot. And the Baal Shem Tov stressed the tzadikim gemurim, the perfect saints. He explained that there are two paths of Avodas Hashem. There's the path of the tzaddik and the path of the Baal Tshuva, the path of the truly righteous individual and the path of the penitent. The service of simple people is similar to that of the Baal Tshuva, in that the simple person's humility is of an order and of the same degree with the penitent's remorse and resolve. When the Baal Shem Tov concluded saying this Torah, all the assembled resumed singing. Those disciples who had been questioning the Master's open affection for simple people realized that he was aware of their thoughts. His exposition of the qualities of the simple people, of the Anoshim Pshutim, equating them with the superiority of the penitent over the tzaddik, was obviously addressed to them, that they appreciate the qualities of the Anoshim Pshutim, of the simple folk, that they were like Balei Tshuva in their manner of service. During the songs, the Baal Shem Tov continued his dveikus, his deep and reflective contemplation. And when they finished singing, the Baal Shem Tov opened his eyes, intently examining each disciple. Then he told them to place the right hand on the shoulder of their neighbor, so that the disciples sitting around the table would be joined. The Baal Shem Tov, naturally, sat at the head of the table. The Baal Shem Tov then told them to sing certain nigunim, certain melodies, while in this position of union. And after the songs, he told them to shut their eyes and not open them until he tells them to do so. Then the Baal Shem Tov placed his holy right hand on the shoulder of the disciple to his right, and his left hand on the shoulder of the disciple sitting on his left, and the circle was closed. Suddenly, the disciples heard songs, melodies, interlaced with moving pleas, touching the very soul. One voice sang, O Ribbono Shel Olam, O Master of the Universe, and launched into a verse of Tehillim, the sayings of God are pure sayings. Another sang, I Ribbono Shel Olam, and another verse, Test me, God, prove me, purify my heart. A third introduced his verse with a spontaneous cry in Yiddish, Tate Herzige, be gracious to me, I trust in you, and I shelter in the shadow of your wings. A fourth voice, I gewalt diese Vater in Himmel, O sweet Father in heaven, let God arise, his foes will scatter, his enemies will flee. Another voice was anguished, Taya the Tata, dear father, Gam Tsipar Motsabayas, Udur Kainlo, a bird has a home, a swallow a nest. Still another pleaded, Lieber Vater, the Barm Dike Tata, bring us back, God who helps, erase your anger against us. The disciples, hearing these songs of Tehillim, literally trembled. Their eyes were still shut, but tears coursed down their cheeks. Their hearts were shattered by the songs. Each of the disciples fervently wished that God help him to serve Hashem in this manner that they had just heard. The Baal Shem Tov removed his hands from the shoulders of the two disciples, and the group no longer heard the songs and Tehillim. Then he told them to open their eyes and to sing a number of designated songs. When I heard the song of Tehillim, the Maggid later told the Alter Rebbe, my soul just spilled forth. I felt such a longing, such ahava betanugim, such a love of delights that I had never yet been privileged to feel. My shoes were soaked with the perspiration and tears of teshuva from the inwardness and depths of the heart. When the Baal Shem Tov stopped singing, an instantaneous hush fell over the entire group. The Baal Shem Tov sat in deep dvekus, in contemplation, for a prolonged time, then looked up and said to his disciples, the songs you heard were the songs of the simple Jews saying Tehillim with sincerity from the recesses of the heart and with simple faith. Now, my pupils, ponder this well. We are only Svas Emes, the edge of truth. For the body is not truth, and only the soul is truth, and it is only the part of the essence. And so the neshama is called Svas Emes, the edge of truth. Parenthetically, Chassidus describes that there are three levels of Emes, three levels of truth. Svas Emes, the edge or lip of truth, Emes, truth, and Emes Lamitei, the truth's truth. The last level being ultimate or perfect truth. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the love of the Beinoni, the love of the intermediate man, during his Avodah, at the time of his service, is called Svas Emes, the edge of truth, and not Emes Lamitei, since it disappears afterwards. Since it can be aroused again, however, it is still in the category of truth. The Av of the Tzaddik is described in Likutei Torah by the Alter Rebbe, since this is something constant and innate, as Ave, which is Be'emes, it is true Ave, not subject to fluctuation. In any event, the Baal Shem Tov began telling his Talmidim to think carefully how we are only Sfas Emes, the edge of truth. For the body is not truth, and only the soul is truth, and it is only a chelik min ha'etzem, it is only part of the essence, and so is called the edge of truth. Still, we do recognize truth, and feel truth, and are affected by truth, affected deeply. Consider then how God, who is Emes La'amitoi, perfect truth, the truth of truths, how God regards the tilim of these simple people. The Alter Rebbe told the Rebbe that Tzemach Tzedek, the Alter Rebbe's grandson, that the Maggid told him that for the longest time he was deeply anguished for having had thoughts about his Rebbe's conduct. He made numerous efforts for rectification, but could not be serene about his sort of disapproval or not understanding of the way of his Rebbe. One of those nights, the Maggid had an unusual vision, the Alter Rebbe told the Tzemach Tzedek, but only years later. In fact, only the week before his demise did the Alter Rebbe tell the Tzemach Tzedek the vision itself. And this is what the vision was about. As I returned through the chambers of Gan Eden, the Maggid had told the Alter Rebbe, I passed a chamber where small children were learning Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu was their instructor. The children were all learning Parshas Lech Lecha. A child read aloud the passage, Vayipal Avram Alponov Vayitzchok. Abraham fell on his face and laughed, thinking to himself, can a 100-year-old man have a child? And can 90-year-old Sarah give birth? Moshe Rabbeinu explained that all the commentaries are true, but a verse retains its simple meaning. If you wonder, said Moshe Rabbeinu, how can Avram doubt God's word? The answer is that this is not because of the soul, but because of the body. And even a holy body is still flesh. Then the Alter Rebbe said to his grandson, when my teacher heard that because of the body, various thoughts and doubts may occur to man spontaneously, he was relieved, for he understood that it wasn't a true doubt that came from his nefesh, from his soul, rather it was a spontaneous doubt that can arrive from the body, just as Avram Avinu had that doubt enter because of the body, for even a holy body is still fresh. The Rebbe concludes his letter, the previous Rebbe concludes the letter by saying, it's quite clear that in the intervening years, great changes have taken place. Though our fathers, the Rabbeim, in their respective generations, blazed a broad and paved path of Hasidus and Hasidic living, still, in our day, the intellects have diminished. Hearts have contracted and shrunk. This is evident in the intellectual grasp and profundity, and in our prayers, and in the improvement of our midas, of our character. However, the pure faith, the beloved earnestness, by the kindness of God, and thanks to the merit of the Rabbeim, today as then, can bring life, a penetrating enthusiasm for Torah, fulfillment of mitzvahs, and the acquisition of fine character traits. In line with the above, about the importance of saying Tehillim, and what an ish poshet, what simple people accomplish in heaven, and what they can accomplish through their saying of Tehillim, there is a Sicha Kedusha, There is a holy talk by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe who tells another story of the Baal Shem Tov with regard to an Ish Poshut, a simple man's recitation of Tehillim. And this is the story. In the Baal Shem Tov's time, a Jewish community was under decree of destruction. The Baal Shem Tov summoned two colleagues, Tzaddikim Nestorim, hidden saints, itinerant and unrecognized Torah scholars and holy individuals, whose names were Reb Mordechai and Reb Kohos, to constitute, together with him, a Bezdin to consider how to nullify the decree. The Baal Shem Tov then experienced Aliyas HaNeshama, the ascent of the soul, and learned from heaven above that the decree is final and not to be abrogated. Returning past the chambers in Gan Eden, in heaven, he passed a chamber illuminated with unusual brilliance. And this was the chamber of a villager who said all of the Tehillim, all of the Psalms, five times every day. The brilliance was of the sparkling words of Tehillim. Coming down from his Aliyas HaNeshama, the Baal Shem Tov traveled to the home of this villager and said to him, "If you knew that by sacrificing your shear in the world to come, you could save an entire Jewish community, what would you do?" "If I have any share in the world to come, I give it up," was the prompt response. And indeed, the decree was annulled. And as long as we are telling about the Baal Shem Tov and the importance of the recitation of Tehillim, it is worth noting that the Alter Rebbe received from his Rebbe, the Magid of Mizriksh, the name of the holy Baal Shem Tov, a Kabbalah, a tradition, that one should say the chapter of Tehillim appropriate to the number of one's years after davening Shacharis, before saying the regular Yom portion of the day. Thus, if somebody is 28 years old, he would say Kapitel Choftes, as he is now in his 29th year, and the like. This is a minig that has been accepted by all and is most propitious, which should also be done together with the Yom Tehillim, the saying of Tehillim, every day as it's divided the days of the month, as well as the custom of reciting the entire Tehillim on Shabbos Mevorchim, the Shabbos that blesses the new month, and also the Baal Shem Tov instituted the custom that from the beginning of the month of Elul through Yom Kippur, additional chapters of Tehillim are recited, three chapters a day in the beginning, finally increasing during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so that by the end of Ne'ilah, the entire Tehillim is recited once again, thus assuring each one of us individually and all of us collectively for a good and sweet year.